Well, good afternoon, everyone. Responsibility comes in many forms. As we're growing up, our parents expect certain things of us, and we find we are shouldered with responsibility. When we get a job, we find we're shouldered with responsibility. Whenever we're expected to perform in any manner, we have a responsibility. Whenever we exercise any form of leadership, we are fulfilling responsibility. If you're the President of the United States, you've got a lot of responsibility. When we get married, we take on an awesome responsibility. But when we become acquainted with real responsibility is when we become parents. Parents face many challenges and fears. Parents of past generations worried about their children becoming victims of sickness, disease, accidents, wars. It was once rare to find a family that hadn't lost at least one child to such killers. Today's parents worry about sickness, disease, accidents, wars, many of the same things. Yet many relatively new evils have appeared in recent generations, or in some instances they are old evils that have simply escalated, such as a powerfully influential but God-rejecting educational system, the incredibly powerful liberal media, the pervasive philosophies of humanism and secularism throughout all of society, pounding peer pressure, the drug subculture, escalating crime and violence in nearly every community, widespread sexual immorality, growing rejection of almost all so-called traditional moral values, just a basic, pervasive, society-wide philosophy that can best be summed up, as I've said from up here before, by four slogans that were coined back in the late 1960s. Do your own thing, whatever turns you on, if it feels good, do it, and anything goes. Faced with the challenges and pressures of bringing up children in such an atmosphere, today's parents have good reason to be filled with apprehension, fears, worries, and grave concern for their children's future and their physical, psychological, moral, and spiritual well-being. New parents, parents of very young children, soon learn they need help, that they simply can't do it all on their own. All of us who are or whoever have been parents have soon had to learn that we need knowledge, wisdom, skills, patience, selflessness, self-discipline, self-sacrifice, and a whole lot of unconditional love. Today we're going to learn, or be reminded once again, that such help is available. In God's church today, we don't have a lot of ceremony. There is order, a certain basic pattern or structure to our Sabbath services, things like weddings, funerals, baptisms. Passover is probably the most solemn and serious of our ceremonies. We don't go in much for super formal, even medieval ritualism, as do other churches and religions. Most of our ceremonies are quite simple and straightforward, and such is the case with the blessing of little children, which we're going to have here today. This message is about why we have this ceremony. I said earlier that parents today have serious cares and concerns, even fears, and recognize that they need help. Well, parents in the time of Christ must have felt much the same way, judging by their behavior, as we'll see. Turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 10. There are three parallel accounts of Jesus' blessing of the little children in the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I've chosen this one in Mark, because I think it gives us the most details. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "Then they brought young children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them." So we see here that parents, even in that day and time, recognized they needed God's help. They needed God's blessing, both on their performance of their parenting skills and just to have their God's blessing directly upon their children in order for them to grow up safe and sound. Now, the account in Luke, we don't need to turn there. Just a couple of little points I want to make. Sometimes people wonder, well, how old or how young or how big or how small should these children be who are blessed? In this account, it simply says young children. In Matthew, it says little children. But in Luke, it says infants. So if your son is shaving already, he's probably a little big for any of us to pick up and hold and bless. That's all I'll say about that. But also, these three accounts read in English give the impression that this was an isolated event, a one-time-only occurrence. I read something here recently that said the original Greek in Luke 18, where it says brought, is in the imperfect tense rather than in the aorist or perfect tense. It could easily be translated, "Then they also were bringing or kept on bringing even their little infants to him." So evidently it was something that happened as an ongoing practice. It wasn't just an isolated event, but it's described as such here, perhaps because of the disciples' reaction on this particular occasion. So it's clear that parents in those days had the same kinds of concerns that we do. But what is it here about little children that God wants us to see and to emulate? He doesn't specifically say so here in Mark 10. So turn back with me, please, to Matthew 18. The parallel account is actually in Matthew 19, but it says much the same thing. But something more is brought out in Luke 18, where he says something about children in a slightly different context. But it illuminates what he meant here when he says we are to become like little children. In Matthew 18, beginning in verse 1, it says, "At that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven.'" So here he's saying very much the same thing as he said in Mark chapter 10. But notice further in verse 4. He says, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So he specifically homes in on humility as the quality in infants or very little children that he wants to see in each of us. Now, there's much that we should be able to learn from our infant children, and about ourselves and our relationship with God, and about how He looks at and feels about us and how He wants us to be. That is the kind of attitude and approach He wants us to take toward Him. Consider the makeup of young children. They're frail, fragile, so very vulnerable, as all parents realize very quickly. They need physical protection. They're wide-eyed, curious, hungry to know, hungry to see, hungry to experience, hungry to bond with their parents, grandparents, anyone they consider to be a part of their inner circle, people that they see frequently. They tend to just naturally want to bond with people. They're humbly trusting, honest, open, direct. They just let it all hang out. They're without ulterior motives. They're not pretending to be something they aren't. Whether they feel pleasure, pain, grief, joy, excitement, enthusiasm, exuberance, whatever, they just express it openly, honestly. And they're very endearing. They capture our attention. Something I've come to notice over a course of time is that when someone is up here speaking, if some adult walks in or walks out, most people don't pay a lot of attention. But see some little toddler go walking around here unattended by their parent, and everybody turns and looks. And the speaker is temporarily forgotten. That little kid gets everyone's attention. We just naturally want to dote over them. I think I mentioned this once before. A couple of years ago, my wife and I were visiting our son and his daughter down in Mesa, Arizona. And I came tearing into the house on some mission. I don't even remember what it was now, but I remember my wife saying, where are you going? I said, don't bother me, I'm on a mission. And about that time, this little voice said, Grandpa, Grandpa. The mission was forgotten. I don't even remember if I completed it. But I did spend some time giving the attention to my granddaughter that she wanted. They just naturally capture our hearts. Yes, we can learn much from our very small children about how God wants us to be in our spiritual relationship with Him. Excuse me. He wants to see in us the same kind of humility, honesty, trust, openness, humble gratitude, unpretentiousness, as we see in our little ones. We, after all, are the children of God. If I had the time, I would go a little more deeply into proving that point. I'll just list certain scriptures here you can jot down, very familiar ones. 1 John 3, 1 and 2, Hebrews 2, 10 and 11, Romans 8, 14 to 17, and 29 and 30. All, just read the whole chapter of Romans 8. It's one of my favorite in the Bible. Maybe people get tired of me harping on this same theme about how we are the children of God, and that is our ultimate potential, to live eternally with God in His family, and we will always be His children. We'll never be of such a rank that we could boot Him off His throne and take over for Him. We will always be subordinate to Him. We'll always be inferior to God the Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ, but we'll always be members of His divine family. Our children are very important to God, as this passage of Scripture that we've looked at here today clearly shows us. He wants to bless them and us every bit as much as we desire it. Let's especially take note of how the relationship between us and our very young children is analogous to a kind of type of the relationship that should exist and that God wants between Himself and each one of us, the adult members of the spiritual body of Christ. The experience of parenting should teach us a great deal about the purpose and meaning of this whole human experience. The simple, beautiful, very meaningful ceremony of the blessing of little children is not only a blessing for the children themselves, but also gives parents confidence and shows us that God does desire to fulfill the needs of parents for their children. It also promotes unity in the church as we all vicariously participate, listening as the prayers are said and the blessings are asked, and giving our own honest and wholehearted amen. And now we're going to hear a recitation of a poem. For many years, poetry, as most of you probably know, was a popular method of teaching literature to children. This beautiful passage of Scripture that we've just homed in on here today has also been put to verse. The poem is taken from a book published in 1936 entitled The Best Loved Poems of the American People. compiled by Hazel Philemon. So I'd like to ask Leanne Holiday, Cecil Bell, Leanne Luker to join me here on stage, and we'll recite the poem for you.
Christ and the Little Ones by Julia Gill.
The Master has come over Jordan,
said Hannah, the mother, one day.
He is healing the people who throng him with the touch of his finger, they say. And now I shall carry the children, little Rachel and Samuel and John. I shall carry the baby Esther for the Lord to look upon.
The father looked at her kindly, but he shook his head and smiled.
Now who but a doting mother would think of a thing so wild? If the children were tortured by demons, or dying of fever to a well, or had they the mark of a leper, like many in Israel.
Nay, do not hinder me, Nathan. I feel such a burden of care. If I carry it to the Master, perhaps I shall leave it there. If he lay his hand on the children, my heart will be lighter, I know, for a blessing forever and ever will follow them as they go.
So over the hills of Judah, along by the vine rose green, with Esther asleep on her bosom and Rachel, her brothers, between, mid the people who hung on his teaching or waited his touch and his word, through the rows of the proud Pharisees listening, she pressed to the feet of the Lord.
Now why shouldst thou hinder the Master,
said Peter,
with children like these? Seest not how from morning to evening he teaches and healeth disease?
Then Christ said,
forbid not the children, permit them to come unto me.
And he took in his arms little Esther, and Rachel he sat on his knee, and the heavy heart of the mother was lifted all earth care above, as he laid his hands on the brothers and blessed them with holiest love. As he said of the babes in his bosom,
of such are the kingdom of heaven.
And strength for all duty and trial, that hour to her spirit were given.